Welcome to the Porch here on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund, broadcasting live from the Firefall studio. The only place you can hear is spontaneous and live is on Spreaker.com, but you can always listen to the archive shows here. Blog Talk, iTunes, and iHeartRadio. So welcome to those listeners. Still waiting to get a confirmation about Spotify. I'm going to work a little harder on that in the coming days. This is where we get back to basics, examining the Word of God, especially the Book of Acts Church. Porch Online Bible Study was created to take a deeper look at how the early church served the Lord, to help replicate the passion and the fire in which they did things, restoring the priesthood of the believer and that world-shaking influence that they had. We believe the church age is still in effect. It's not over. The fire still falls. The day of Pentecost is ongoing. Porch is an outreach of Solomon's Porch, Inc. Go to onsolomonsporch.org if you want to contact us. Or you can go to firefalltalkradio.com, and you can also find ways to support what we do. We appreciate all our listeners and supporters. Make sure you bookmark the Spreaker site. That way you will know when a new show has been broadcast, like New Year's Eve when Overwatch was broadcast. And if you missed it, it's still there. Go listen to the end-of-year report from Overwatch, from an Overwatch perspective. There's also a word about the coming year, so you're going to want to listen to it. We're also working on having a seminar weekend here in Orlando in August, so that'll give you time to plan and prepare, and if you have families to come down. We're looking at a particular hotel, which is very, very reasonable, right in the heart of everything. If we can make that happen just for us, this is only for us. I'm not looking for a big turnout. Hopefully, you know, we'll get some commitments, support, the ability to make this happen. I'm also going to work on some sponsorship to help people with their expenses. So make sure you keep that in mind and keep that in prayer. Matthew 24, verses 7 and 8 tell us, for nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these the beginning of the sorrows. Well, Ebola is on the rise in the Congo. 600 active cases, 366 people dead. We have to watch the signs of the times. Praise reports and prayer requests, this is where we start. If you want to be a part of this, and I would hope that you would, if you get it to me, email it, go to one of the websites, onsolomonsport.org, firefalltalkradio.com, Firefall's Facebook page. If you connect it to me on social media, if you get it to me before 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday, it will be included. We'll get people being blessed by your praise and praying with you and for you. I praise the Lord for my home, for my wife, my sons, my daughter-in-laws, my grandson, for our furry kids, our possessions, everything we have, this house, all of the blessings that he has bestowed upon us, which of course includes my salvation. I praise him for his protection over us, for the ministry he lets me work. I'm going to say this again. I saw it today on Instagram. Some well-known athlete has his own ministry now, and of course, his last name is the name of the ministry. And I thought, really? I mean, you hit a lot of home runs, but there's not a whole lot you can do for me. My name will never be on anything I do for him. I praise him for the dreams and the visions, for the healing virtues which are still available to us, that faith and the gifts of the Spirit are available to us. I praise him for the ability to praise him, to get into his presence, to bask in his glory. I praise him that I am a new creation and he allows me to do that and that I'm living in these prophetic times. So I praise him for America. I praise him for the signs that we've been talking about. We will be talking about more because I will be doing a lot more Overwatch shows and brief reports and things like that. He's telling us he's getting ready to come back. So let's get ready. Roll up those sleeves. Gird up those loins. It's time to go. Prayers? Well, let's start with the Middle East. Let's pray for Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, which means we pray for the Prince of Peace to return. The Prince can come back too, but the Prince of Peace to return. We pray for the fatherless, the widows, the innocents, the victims of injustice, those that are being slaughtered, the slaughter of the innocents, both in and out of the womb, even his creation. What people are doing to dogs and cats, and it's just horrific. The satanic, the demonic, Hasatan, and the fallen are still doing what they've always done. They're destroying, and I pray against that. Pray for our brothers and sisters around the world that are being slaughtered, persecuted for their faith. Religious persecution and anti-Semitism is on the rise, and I will always stand against that. Vocally, spiritually, I will not tolerate it. I pray for divine wholeness, health, and continued healing, that we would get back to our divine design. Begin to pray that, folks. Begin to pray that the cells in your body and your body and the organs in your body and everything about you would get back to his divine design, not what your heritage did to you, your blood lineage, not what your choices did to you, not what the world is doing to you with the food and the Wi-Fi. No, let's get back to the way he designed us. We got a job to do. We need to be healthy. So I pray healing right now for all who are sick. I pray protection over you, inspiration. I pray for the remnant to wake up, rise up, answer the call to action. And for those who have been blessed, to be a blessing. If you have prospered in accordance with his word, then be a conduit of his blessings. The documentary is scheduled to go back to Atchison to finish the shoot. I praise him for that, and prayer for the influx of new funds, new support, open doors of opportunity, people to speak to. I want to pray for, hold on, let me get it here. My wife's cousin, her name is Faye. I think she's in Alabama, I'm not sure. Alabama or Georgia, one of those southern places. They all look alike to me. Don't send me emails. I'm just kidding. Pray for her. She's having surgery on her hip. She had a hip replacement, and they have to go back in and fix it. That's tomorrow. So keep Faye in your prayers. Pray for my son, Jesse. He's got a lower back strain, and since he's a personal trainer and on his feet a lot and has to move around, it's very restrictive and painful. I know how that is. So pray for him. He's Georgia. My wife just reminded me, Georgia. Thank you. Faye is in Georgia. So you're praying for Faye in Georgia's hip surgery tomorrow. And you're also praying for my son Jesse in Orlando's healing of his lower back right now. I'm going to offer some prayer and praise for Sarah in Alabama. I've met her on my trips to Birmingham, and speaking, I've had the pleasure of praying for her and having God move in her life. She's been in the hospital. She's been in rehab, and she's going home on the 4th. So right now, Sarah, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I just bless you. I bless you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, back into your tissue, your bones, your marrow, your ligaments, your heart, your mind, your soul, and your spirit, and that he would envelop you in his glory, and the Ruach HaKodesh would just explode from inside and out and put you back into his divine design. Stacy in Texas, thankful for her family, furry kids, and like-minded believers in her life, said, may God bless and protect all of you. The world would be like an unbearable desert without all of you. Please continue to pray for healing my family, my marriage, for generational curses and strongholds to be broken, torn down, for our house in Alabama to sell, and for us to find a home there. Father, I'm praying right now for everything that's been mentioned and all those that are thinking about their needs. I'm praying for health. I'm praying for healing. I'm praying for provision and blessing. I'm praying for you to be glorified. I'm praying for the signs of the Messiah to manifest right here, right now, within the sound of my voice, live and recorded, that the blind would see, the deaf would hear, the lame would walk, the dead would be raised. The demons would be cast out. People would be saved, healed, and delivered. I pray that they would rise up, answer the call, Lord, get up from their knees in front of the cross and commit themselves to serve you, to be about their Father's business. Father, we love you. I know I tell you this all day and I speak to you and I'm outside with the dogs or I'm walking or working out. Whatever I'm doing, I'm telling you how much I love you. You saved me when I was, in my mind, unsavable. I wouldn't have saved me. But your grace is still amazing. Your mercy is new every morning. So I pray right now for your mercy to fall upon your children. We thank you for Yeshua. We thank you for sacrificing your only begotten Son for the cross, which is bare. It's bloodied, but there's nobody on it. The tomb, it's empty. There's not a body in there. There's not a cell, a tissue. There's nothing because Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, he is alive. He has risen. He sits at the right hand of the Father in fullness and power, and we sit with you in the heavenly places. Thank you, Lord, for sending the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, to live inside of us, to abide in us, to keep us always connected to you. Right now, I pray that for those that have not felt it, that it's been muted, it's been pushed down, that they've been mistaught or misled, that the Spirit inside of them would reveal himself to them, inside and out, that you begin to deliver them and renew them and restore them and put bones and ligaments and tissues back in place, that eyes would open, ears would hear, hearts would be healed, relationships restored. We thank you for this new year, Lord, but we thank you for every day and for every moment, for every second. I want to praise you, Lord. I wasn't planning on doing this, but you put it in my spirit. Before you hear the sound of the shofar, I've got something I want you to listen to. If you want to just listen, that's great. If you want to sing along, that's great too. But I believe we need to praise him for a second. I believe that we need to draw close to him. We need to put him in the highest place.
We place you on the highest place, for you are the great high priest. We place you high above.
These lessons are proprietary information, except where noted the information comes from outside sources. Combination of that information, the matter presented is exclusive, cannot be repeated or used without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. You know, I listened to the Spirit, and the Spirit told me to do that, and as I sat here singing along and praising Him, it's really an interruption that we have to deal in this world with anything but Him. It's really a distraction to have to deal with the cares of this world. But just remember, we're going to spend all eternity worshiping Him. There'll be no night. There'll be no tiredness. There'll be no need for sleep. So we're talking about miracles and healing. We're going to finish that up tonight. I didn't get it done last week, and there's still more to talk about. But as a recap, 1 Corinthians 12, starting verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you are Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. And I know most people think that these dumb idols are just that. Statues can't speak because they're dumb. But they are. They're dumb. They're dumb idols. They're idols representing fallen angels and demonic offspring. And I'm sorry, if you were in eternity, you had access to the throne room, you're one of the B'nai HaElohim, the sons of God, and you rebelled and you listened to HaSatan, then you're dumb. Dumb idol. So, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that you are Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. However you were led, therefore I will make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God called Yeshua accursed, and no one can say that Yeshua is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. It goes on in verse 11, this is the Amplified Version. All these gifts, achievements, abilities are inspired and brought to pass by one and the same Holy Spirit, who apportions to each person individually exactly as He chooses. For just as the body is a unity and yet has many parts, and all the parts, though many, form only one body, so it is with Messiah, the Anointed One. For by the means of the personal agency of the one Holy Spirit, we were all, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, baptized, and by baptism united together into one body, and all made to drink of one Holy Spirit. Just think, if we could become unified in that, if we become one body, the fallen angels, the kingdom of darkness wouldn't have a chance. But He has found a way to keep us fractured, keep us separated, denominations, abominations, whatever you want to call them, have messed everything up. But what Paul's saying is, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to misunderstand or be misinformed. I don't want you to not know because of lack of information or intelligence, or to ignore through aversion or unwillingness. Because for the most part, that's what it is. See, we're called to walk in the Spirit with wisdom and understanding. That word walk is an action, it's an effort, it's an insight, it's a verb. And it means the state in which one is living. So when Paul says walk in the Spirit, the state of your living, the condition of your life, the action of your life can be one of two things. It can be of the Holy Spirit, it could be of your flesh. And I think part of the problems with miracles and healings is we have mixed a little bit of the world, a little bit of Greek philosophy, a little bit of religion and theology, and it's all so convoluted. See, Paul brings it up again, similar wording in Romans 12, verse 4. As in one physical body, we have many parts, organs, and members, and all these parts do not have the same function or use. So, we are numerous as we are, are one body in the Messiah, and individually we are parts of one another, mutually dependent upon one another. Having gifts, faculties, talents, qualities that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. He whose gift is prophecy, let him prophesy according to the portion of his faith. He whose gift is practical service, well, let him give himself to serving. He who teaches, to his teaching. He who exhorts and encourages, to his exhortation. He who contributes, let him do it in simplicity and liberality. He who gives aids and superintends with zeal and singleness of mind. He who does acts of mercy with genuine cheerfulness and joyful eagerness. Let your love be sincere, a real thing. Hate what is evil. Loathe all ungodliness. Turn in horror from wickedness. But hold fast to that which is good. Love one another with brotherly love, brotherly affection, as members of one family, giving precedence and showing honor to one another. Never lag in zeal and earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice and exult in hope. Be steadfast and patient in suffering and tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Then he ends it all contributing to the needs of God's people, sharing in the necessities of the saints, pursue the practice of hospitality. That kind of union, that kind of cohesion in the body scares the H-E double hockey sticks out of the fallen. Because they know that that kind of a body will be the manifestation of Yeshua, of the Lord, on this earth, all over the earth, in millions of different places. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to encourage whoever has ears to hear, which is, I believe, right now the remnant. But I've had people tell me that the miracles and the gifts were temporary, that they died with the last apostle. So what basically they're saying is God does not perform miracles or heal today. I have a problem with that. That doesn't line up with the word. Hebrews 13:8 tells me that Yeshua, the Messiah, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In John 14, verses 16 and 17 and 26, the Lord said otherwise. He said, I will pray the Father, who will give you another helper, that he may, what, abide with you forever. That's verse 16, his words. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, the Comforter, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. This jumps to John 15:26, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds, literally emanates from the Father, he will testify of me. So if I'm going to believe that the gifts of the Spirit no longer function, then I must believe the Lord is a liar and the Bible is a lie. Thank you for playing. Pick up your parting gifts on the way out. That's not true. We're given a promise that he would never leave us or forsake us. And in that would be the presence and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, which is faith, which is all the things we talk about, both the gifts and the fruit. Why is it that many denominations want to get you to believe that the dunamis, the power gifts, are no longer present? Well, I'll tell you why I believe they believe that. Because they're trying to excuse the fact as to why they don't move in them. We were told by the Lord, red letters, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, which means evangelize. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Pretty basic. You must be born again. And these signs will follow those who believe. Didn't say just my disciples. Didn't just say the people I'm speaking to. These signs will follow those who believe. Do you believe them? These signs will follow you. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And that is referring to preaching the gospel, evangelizing, doing what he told us to do, and to go into all the world, not to these mountain people and these snake handlers. That to me is demonic. That is not God. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. That's healing. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God, and they did what? They went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord working with them, confirming the word through what? The accompanying signs. They're still active. Now, we started to touch on this last week, and this is why I wanted to finish it, because of them really profound examples. Are there times that God doesn't heal? Yes. God didn't heal Paul of his thorn in his flesh. He talked about it in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 9. To keep me from being puffed up and too much elated by the exceeding greatness, the preeminence of these revelations, there was given to me a thorn, a splinter in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to racket and buffet and harass me, to keep me from being excessively exalted. Three times I called upon the Lord and besought him about this and begged that it might depart from me. But he said to me, my grace, my favor and loving kindness and mercy is enough for you. It is sufficient against any danger and enables you to bear the trouble manfully. For my strength and my power are made perfect, fulfilled and completed, and show themselves most effective in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly glory in my weakness and infirmities, and the strength and the power of Messiah may rest. May pitch a tent over me and dwell upon me. So Paul suffered from some unidentified disease. Some people think it was his eyes, because he mentions it later on that they would want to give him their eyes. Whatever it was, God chose that he was not going to heal Paul. That beside the fact that it was teaching him humility, it was showing Paul's strength. God's strength in Paul's weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. So the gospel's power did not rely upon human strength or ability. God's gifts are not dependent upon man. He dwells with us in every way, shape, and form, oppressed, lowly in spirit, healthy and wealthy. But guess what? I was talking to somebody about this the other day. There are people out there that will tell you just the opposite. The name it and claim it, the prosperity crowd will preach you a gospel that does not line up with the word. They will take scripture out of context. And it becomes very disheartening and depressing to people because their lives never line up with what they're hearing. Even the Lord prayed three times in the Garden of Gethsemane that the cup, the tremblings, the the trial that he was about to face would be removed. He went there with his disciples and told them, wait here. I'm going to go pray. And he went and prayed and he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful even to death. Stay here and watch with me. So he went on to the Father and he fell on his face and, oh, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but you will. And he came back and they were sound asleep. And again, he goes back saying, oh, Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And came back again and found them asleep. He chastised them and said, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Let us rise up, be going, see my betrayers at hand. He suffered in prayer, cried out to the Father for relief from what he was about to suffer, but he submitted to the will of God. He was let down by his closest associates and betrayed by a friend, all in the space of a short time. Miracles and healings must be equated with the purpose of God and the glorification of God. What if the Father had answered Yeshua's prayer? We wouldn't be saved. There would have been no payment. There would have been no sacrifice for our sins. The Father could have. He could have said, no, I don't want you to have to endure this. But for the sake of being reconciled with us, he could not answer that prayer. God doesn't have to use his power to prove that he has it. I believe that he has it. I've seen it in action. The grace that will be imparted if you endure the calamity and the tribulation has much greater value than an immediate answer to prayer. That's what Paul was saying. We've seen it in Paul. We've seen it in David. We've seen it in so many champions of the faith. Oh, yeah, it would be a blessing. But would it do what he needed it to do? What's the most important thing for you to have your way or for him to have his? What's the greater manifestation of your faith? You have to decide. I know what it is. I think we've gotten into a fast food, I want it now society. Oh, I'm praying this prayer. I want my answer to my prayer. I don't want to have any pain. I don't want any discomfort. I don't want any persecution. I don't want any of this stuff. Folks, we live in a fallen world. Enough already. It's time for the church and those who have a real faith to grow up. We're in a war. We're in a battle. Things are going to happen. But his grace is sufficient for us. He will help us to endure the burden. He will help us carry it. And the hardship may actually be a blessing in disguise. It may produce strength of character. That's what James is saying in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Paul was made to rely upon the Lord for the burden, for the thorn in his flesh, and the Father's grace empowered Paul to endure it and to face it, which he does with us to face our limitations and our weaknesses. I believe, and I know, that the gift of miracles and healings are active because I've participated in many of them. I've had some of them myself, but I've had other times where the Lord did not answer me. And I'll be honest, I've had times where I was a brat and I threw a tantrum. One time in specific, I had prayed for something, and when it didn't happen, I threw a tantrum. And I got chastised. Because what I heard the Lord say is, I don't have to do what you say because you say it. and the tone of his voice and the feeling in heart, my heart, I was heart struck. And I realized that I was demanding him to do what I wanted, and I wasn't asking him to do what he wanted. Now, I do believe that all sickness and suffering is not of God. I believe it's from HaSatan, of Satan. I believe it's from the fallen. I believe it's from their demonic offspring. I think that's what they exist for. That's why they're on this earth. But the greater witness comes from how we endure it. It was Satan that gave Paul that thorn to torment him, distract him, and divert him from faith and ministry. It was God. It was the Lord who allowed it, but also empowered Paul to overcome it. There's another example I wanted to get to last week, and we ran out of time. Go with me to Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. Well, we know the story. Peter's a little full of himself at that moment. And the Lord just lets him in on something he knows through revelation knowledge. That Satan has asked permission to sift Peter like wheat. What does that mean? When they brought the grain that had been trodden by the animals, they would throw it into the air with these wide-pronged forks so that the wind would carry off the chaff and all that would be left would be the wheat. He was saying, Peter, you're headed for a fall, but the outcome of it is you'll be perfected. And when it's done, come back, be restored, be renewed, be empowered. Most people today would want the Lord to say, got you covered. Satan can't touch you. I'm not going to allow this. I've actually heard people preach it. I've heard people criticize what I do with SRT. Brother, you don't have to do all of that. God does it. The angels do it for you. No. 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 Part of what we endure, part of what we go through for his glory, to our discomfort, is for our betterment. Because the Peter, the arrogant, I'm ready, Lord, to go with you to prison and to death. And then hours later, he's around a campfire, and they start saying to him, wait, you're one of them. You were with him. You're, and no, I don't know him. And on the last denial, he curses. He screams, and then he hears the rooster crow. And he was broken. He cried a cry that according to the description and the words, he wailed, he screamed from the broken heart inside of him. But the Peter that came out of that is the Peter that stood up on that day of Pentecost and preached the gospel to millions of people. God's power, the glorious power of the living God, is more evident when it's displayed in our weakness, where they can look at you and go, there's no natural way you could be enduring this. There's no natural way you could have that kind of faith. Though God does accept the prayer of faith, he doesn't always give us what we ask for. He doesn't always take away the troubles and the temptations, but he gives us the grace to endure it and to not complain. His grace, his unmerited favor, his goodwill towards us, is meant to encourage us, to enlighten us, to enliven us, comfort us in the midst of all of it. I've been there. The longer you're saved, the more you experience, the more you see how fragile you are, the more you see how the power of the seduction of the enemy is so great. Whether it was Adam and Eve or Peter at that moment or other people, never underestimate the power of the enemy, but never underestimate the power of the Lord to deal with it through you. His grace is sufficient for you. When we're weak, he is strong. And that strength is manifested to others that need to see it. They need some hope. I need to see somebody to encourage me and to help me through this. They need to hear from somebody that's been healed of cancer. They need to hear from somebody who's had a marriage restored. They need to hear from somebody who should have been condemned to an eternity without God, but have now been restored and will spend eternity in paradise. That's what your testimony does. Your testimony says, I was once lost, but now I'm found. So don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Messiah's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Even get that happy feet there. If you are reproached for the name of Messiah, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. And on their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a believer, as a follower of Yeshua, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come. Listen to me, church. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. And there's also timing. Timing to miracles. Timing's to healings. There's timing. The fullness of time is what the Bible says. It's everything God does. And I may have shared this story before, but it's been a while. When we lived in Tallahassee, I worked for a couple of years as a consultant to the Department of Education. Somebody I went to church with got me the job, and he was my boss. And I would drive from my house downtown to the building the Department of Education was in. On this one particular morning, it was raining, and it was a torrential rain, the kind you can barely see in front of you. And as I'm driving, I see off to my right here a woman standing at a bus stop with an umbrella, but she's getting soaked. A middle-aged black woman. And I'm about to pull over and do a good deed. And the Lord says, no, keep going. And so I didn't have time to argue, didn't have time to do anything but keep going. So I kept going. I get to work. About 45 minutes later, the guy I work with rolls in. He's soaked. And then he begins to tell me with this gleam in his eyes and smile on his face. Says he was driving to work and he's coming down the road and he sees this middle-aged black woman standing in the bus stop, soaked. And he hears the Lord say to him, stop and pick her up. So he stops immediately, offers her a ride. She was coming in the same direction. And she gets in the car and she thanks him profusely. He begins to share with her. She begins to share with him. And he said, on the way to work, they had church. And I looked at him and I said, so that blessing was yours. He goes, what do you mean? I said, I was going to stop for her. And the Lord said, no, he saved her for you. That was his blessing. And if I had been a busybody do-gooder who did things because I wanted to, not because of what he wanted to, I would have stolen that blessing from him. I would have stolen that moment that, A, he heard the Lord, he was obedient, and it encouraged him. So there's timing to everything the Lord does, and we have to recognize that. There's also an example of that in the Bible to correlate to what I just said. If you go to Acts chapter 3, we see that Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, which is about 3 o'clock. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms of those who entered the temple, who, upon seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. He's begging. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. And so he gave him his attention, expecting to receive something from him. And then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by his right hand and lifted him up, and immediately on his feet and the ankles and the bones received strength. And he began leaping and stood and he walked, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people walking saw him walking and praising God. They knew that it was he who sat begging for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened. We jump to Acts 4, verse 13, and what happened is this becomes a moment of evangelism. This miracle, this healing, becomes a moment of witnessing to the people that Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, is who he says he is. He is who Peter and John say that he is. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. This is the Sanhedrin. And they realized that they had been with Yeshua. Wouldn't it be great to have somebody look at you and realize, whoa, that person's been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred amongst themselves, saying, what will we do with this man? For indeed, a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak nor teach in the name of Yeshua. But Peter and John answered them and said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to listen to you more than to God, you judge, but we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let him go away, finding no way of punishing them because of the people. Why? The people outside are still jacked up. They're still excited. They're still glorifying God for what had been done. And you want to know why? Verse 22 of Acts 4, for the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. He had been lame since his birth. His family had been laying him at that gate for the majority of his life, which means that during the time that Yeshua walked into the temple, he walked past this man, he saw this man, and he did nothing about it. Why? Because there was an assignment for Peter and John that would further the gospel, that would further the message, that would further the kingdom of God. And what else happened? Go to the end of Acts chapter 4. We have evangelism. We have miracles. We have signs and wonders. We have the signs of the Messiah. The lame is walking. The people are stirred up. They're getting saved. They're getting healed. And the Sanhedrin, the leaders, they don't know what to do because they know a, quote, notable miracle has happened. So go to Acts 4:29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Yeshua. And when they had prayed, the place where they was assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. They'd been filled in the upper room. They were being filled. They were already burning with the fire of the Holy Spirit. And because they wanted more to preach the gospel, to bring the signs of the Messiah, they got more. That's what this is all about. Because it led to what? It led to evangelism, another part of this equation. The gift of evangelism, the message of the salvation, the good news being preached. The places where it's preached. Go into Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That takes fire. That takes fuel. That takes the Holy Spirit. It's done publicly. It's done privately. It's done one-on-one. It's done in groups. In Paul's ministry, the length of stay in one instance lasted 2 years or more. In another, in only a few days. And he stayed, and he taught, and he discipled, and he moved on. It wasn't about building buildings or building organizations or fame and fortune or all the things we see today. It was about spreading the gospel. It was about destroying the works of the enemy. It was about being a witness. That's what the work of an evangelist is. That's the only calling we have. That's the only orders we've been given. Go, make disciples of all men. It all ties together. It's all done for a purpose. It's all done in the fullness of time. It's all done for His glory. You're flat on your back, you're hurting, you can't move. I've been there. I've blown out my back, the lower vertebrae in my back, doing martial arts, which was just on top of all the years of heavy weightlifting and bodybuilding and bodyguard works and fighting and boxing, all those things. And for a year, I couldn't train. I couldn't do anything. There'd be moments where my back would go out and I'd be on the floor and I'd have to figure out a way to grab onto something, to get up on my feet. And I'd be crying out to God because of the pain, the discomfort, the embarrassment. But then I would get up and I'd begin to pray and I'd begin to praise Him. And I'd literally say, not my will, your will be done. You be glorified, Lord. You be glorified in my pain. You be glorified in my suffering. You be glorified in my patience. I eventually would go on and finish the training. I would go on and get my black belt. It took longer than expected. It was never really about me getting the black belt. The Lord made that clear, but He let me get it anyway. It was about being a witness, about evangelizing, about changing people's lives, about restoring relationships. Everything is about the kingdom of God. And if you'll commit to that in 2019, if you'll take your eyes off yourself and say, Lord, how can I represent you today? How can I have a word in due season? How can I encourage somebody? Oh, you don't have to thump them over the head with the Bible. You don't have to have Bible studies. You don't have to show them the gifts of the Spirit you move in. Live the gospel. Show them love. Show them that you care. Show them that their Heavenly Father cares. Father, I just come to you now in the name of your Son, Yeshua. And Lord, I come to you with my brothers and my sisters that are listening. And we come to you as one family, as one heart, as one body. Some of us are struggling, Lord. We want to serve you, but we're distracted by the mess of our lives, the pain in our lives, the broken relationship. We're distracted by all these things the enemy has done to us. Help us rise above that. Help us get beyond that. Help us to take our eyes off of us and put them on you. To hear your still voice, the whisper in the whirlwind. To hear you in the midst of the storm. Most of all, let them hear the words, I love you. right now for your sons and your daughters, my brothers and my sisters. I pray that your grace would be sufficient for them. I pray that the measure of faith needed you would give to them. I pray that whatever it is they need to go where they need to go, to do what they need to do, to reach what they need to reach for you, with you, in you, would be bestowed upon them right now in the name of Yeshua. I pray that you're speaking to them even as I'm praying, that you're healing their hearts, that you're clearing their minds, that you're answering questions, that you're setting them free of all bondages, of all deceit, of all false teachings, and that in the clearness and the clarity of their mind and their heart, they're fixated on you. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the days ahead. I thank you for the fact that I believe you're coming. And I believe you've given us marching orders, and I believe that you have things you want us to do. I'm believing you for the provision to do it. I'm believing you for the power and the strength and the energy to do it. I'm believing you for the people to do it. But most of all, I'm believing that you're going to be in there with us doing it. We love you, Lord. We love you with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our spirit, with everything that is in us. We love you. And we thank you. I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Begin to believe, folks. Begin to move. Begin to have steps of faith. Maybe for some it'll be baby steps. But let the Spirit guide you in everything that you say and you do. Set yourself aside first thing every morning. Not a shotgun prayer. Not some little two-second devotion. Spend some time with Him. Ask Him what He wants of you that day. Remember, you start out with praise and then petition and then wait on Him. Wait on the Spirit. Get some really good anointed praise and worship music. Not some of this stuff that's out there today that has no anointing on it to stir up the Spirit inside of you. I have my go-to stuff. Find yours. Get fired up. Get ready. This is going to be a great year. It's going to be a tumultuous year. And it's going to be the year that we're going to become proactive and do what He wants done. And I just pray all this in Yeshua's name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Give you shalom. I'm Richard Grun. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.